Lord, we love you. We just love who you are, all that you've done. We long to be with you. We long to seek your face, to be in your presence. Lord, if you lived high up a mountain, we'd be climbing the mountain. We just thank you that you're here. We thank you that you're in our midst right now. You're present by your Spirit. We thank you that there's nowhere we can flee from your presence. Nowhere we can run to hide from you. And Lord, as we consider various journeys people have been on just to seek your face, we pray that you'd stir in our hearts that desire to know you. And even this afternoon, Lord God, that we connect with you in fresh ways. Lord, as we seek to draw near to you, truly we pray that you would draw ever nearer to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're considering the call to the parish adventure. We're considering what it means to be pilgrim people in this world, passing through. And we say, yes, we rise to that. We recognise that sometimes the journey with God can be difficult for all sorts of reasons. But actually, okay, we submit to it, especially where we recognise God is doing something, perhaps to do some pruning, to sort some things that need sorting. We just seek after him in the midst of that. And some of those unwelcome journeys, okay, they're unwelcome, but we can thank God for his presence in them and for what he can do through them. But we come to this third session, thinking about the journeys of seeking. This is not unwelcome journeys that come to us and perhaps surprise us, are forced upon us. This is us taking the initiative. This is intentional journeys where we say, actually, we want to seek God. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. And we find this quite a lot. There's another strong theme when you look at all the journeys in the Bible. There are very many, so we're going to look at some. And again, just spend a couple of minutes on each one, 3 or 4 minutes on each one, and then we'll have a chat and talk a bit more. And this relates in the other parallel picture of the vine to perhaps the abiding. You know, just always seeking the presence of God, seeking to live in the presence of God, abiding with Christ. So we submit to the pruning, we do the abiding, we're working towards the fruitfulness. But look, here's the first example. Moses seeks God by going up the mountain. And the first thing perhaps to say about that is that he followed an invitation to go up the mountain. That Moses had a particular job to do and God was calling him, not just to take delivery of some tablets of stone, but actually to go in person, to have an audience with the living God, to be aglow with the presence. Literally, when he came down and his face was shining, people couldn't look at him. The brightness of spending time in the presence of God up the mountain. And there's something about the leadership responsibility of Moses here. Actually, what is it that he brings in terms of the leadership? And leadership, by the way, it's not just the person with the collar or the person up front or whatever. We all exercise leadership in all sorts of ways, as people may look to us in all manner of ways, in all manner of contexts. But actually, what's the difference? What lead do we give? If it's a lead that just comes out of having read a book on something, that can be good. But really, if we've spent time up the mountain in the presence of the living God, that makes a difference. That makes the face shine. But very interesting that Moses took the time out from where the people were to spend the time up the mountain. And what happened? Well, I don't know. It wasn't Aaron's fault. He just put the gold in the furnace and out came this calf. When the cat's away, the mice will play. There's something about needing to prioritise that time with God, but it can also take us away But it's still important to prioritise it, to carve out the space to be with God. But here's one example. Moses up the mountain, seeking God. What about Naaman, a foreigner? But he's got a problem. He's got a very physical condition, this leprosy that's come upon him. It's getting worse. He's lived with it for a little bit. He's realizing this isn't going to get any better. He's feeling really pressed. What am I going to do? I've got this. I can't escape from it. I'm not sleeping now well at night. You know, this is all consuming. I can't imagine, you know, I don't want to think about how this might end. Where can I go for help? Okay, what's around me? What he finds is the avenues available around him to look for help are insufficient for the situation he's in. So what's he going to do? He's heard about something. Isn't that interesting? He's heard. There's a place you can go. There's a prophet, Elijah, in Israel. And he knows what people are thinking in their bedrooms. This is the man who's connected with God. He's spent the time up the mountain, as it were. Go there. You might just find resources that are beyond anything else that's around about you. There's a place you can go if you want to seek God's help. And so Naaman makes the journey. He says, okay, I'll prepare myself. You know, I'll bring a big entourage. We're going to make this long journey. I'm going to get lots of nice presents together so I can, you know, purchase the favor of this person that I'm visiting, ready to receive what I need to get help me with this leprosy. So off he goes, loads of gifts. And what a humbling experience when he gets there. The prophet doesn't even see him. Sends his servant out to meet this man. And he says, sure, you know, I want to meet the man himself, the prophet I've heard about. No. He just says, you know, go and bathe in the river and you'll be all right. We'll bathe in that river? We've got much bigger rivers where I come from. This is a tiny little thing that you're asking me to do. But, you know, what about these gifts I've got? I want to give the gifts. No, he wants nothing. I don't want your gifts. You're not going to see the important people. You just deal with the servants. You can go to a little river here and dip yourself seven times. And Naaman is a bit upset to start with. But in the end, he goes, he dips himself, and he gets better. But what's interesting as well, perhaps, with that, is that it's not an immediate thing. He's not there and immediately saying, okay, now I understand what the deal is. I'm going to go down to the river and dip. He says, oh, I'm not going to do that, and kicks up. But he works through that process. That's where he starts. You know, resisting, shouting, complaining, but actually responds in the end. And there's a process of accepting God's way. It's not always immediate. We see this is it, we'll walk in it. Sometimes there's a process that we just have to walk through, and there's no shortcuts in seeking God. But he went out, he sought in his own way, he realised things changed, and he did process and kept on persevering with his seeking till he found what he was looking for. What about this picture in the Old Testament as we go through? And Solomon builds the temple. David sort of has the idea for this temple, but Solomon completes it, and it's wonderful that all the people do all that they can to get together and use their God-given gifts to make all the different bits, to bring it all together. We've got this place now. And then they pray, and the Holy Spirit comes upon the temple and fills the place with the glory of God and adds to all the people's best efforts what only God can give. And God is in the place, in the temple. And Solomon says, this is the place where people can come. If they want to call on God, they've got somewhere. This is God's front door. They can come and knock and say, look, is God in? Yes, he is. I've got something I want to talk to him about. He's going to hear your cry here. This is the place. So, really interesting idea behind the temple. This is the place where people can come to seek God. This is the place where God lives. And it calls some questions, and I think just a couple of things that are interesting and perhaps relate to us a little bit out of this. The need for a physical place. Each of our villages have a physical place. And they may not have the steeples that give a finger pointing upwards to God, but you know, I think they're the highest places in each of the tallest buildings in each of the villages. And they're certainly there as a visible structure, saying God is there and God is here. And actually, here is a physical place where people can come. And the role of reputation. You know, the news went far and wide. If you want to meet with God, there's a temple now. And the glory has filled the temple, and that's where he is. And it's an interesting picture. The temple is developed as a picture through the New Testament, so that the church, as the people of God, become the living temple in which the glory of God dwells. So if people want to meet God now, they don't necessarily go to the physical place, although maybe it's still important to have a physical place that's visible in the community, but they go to the people of God and they find him there. Okay, so it needs for people to know. What's the reputation? If you ask someone in the streets in our parishes, where do you go to find God? Or what are you about your local church? Is that a place where you would go to seek after God? Here's another one. Now into the prophet age and Jeremiah towards the end of the kingdom age before the exile. And all these things happening and Babylon coming and beginning to take over and the people are saying, well, we're God's chosen people and this is the place where God lives and we've got the temple and what do we do? Do we go along with this? Do we allow ourselves to go into exile? Do we fight it? Do we resist? What do we do? I know, they say, we'll ask Jeremiah. He's a prophet. He'll give us a word from the Lord. And so they seek after Jeremiah, who gives them the word from the Lord and says, go along with it, go into exile, and it'll all be okay in the end. But actually, you're going to have this season. It's too late now to avoid this. And they didn't like that word. And so they did the opposite of what the prophet had said. And they threw poor old Jeremiah down the well. You know, they silenced him. They attacked him. And actually, he was just the mouthpiece of God, wasn't he? But it was the right thing to do, to say, I'm not quite sure what we do in this situation. I know we'll seek God. Let's ask the prophet and we'll seek God and see what God wants to say to us. But actually, when they heard from God, they didn't want to go through with it. And there's something here about, you know, we can begin seeking God, but then, I don't like that. And we can back off. Seeking God, it's also the willingness to obey, isn't it? To follow through, to persevere, and not to back off if we don't like what we're hearing as we begin to seek God. And you seek God, you find God, you find God, you may be surprised. When you're surprised, you may have a choice. How about this one? Getting into the New Testament times now. The Magi in the East, and we don't know exactly how the Jews of the diaspora, you know, the dispersed Jews who had gone into exile and stayed away from the land of Israel, and the Jews settled all over the Assyrian Empire, Babylonian Empire. So these Jews are still settled there and on their pilgrim quest, you know, sojourners, pilgrims in a foreign place, but living for God, showing the way. They actually did influence a lot of people and shared their love for God and so on, and made a difference. And so these Magi had been influenced. They knew about the Jewish scriptures. They had some expectation of the Jewish Messiah being born, the King coming. And they'd done their study. They'd done their research. And what's wonderful is that they were willing to travel hundreds of miles. You compare that with Herod, who only had to travel a few miles, but wasn't willing to leave his home. But they travelled hundreds of miles to find out what was in it for them. Did they have leprosy? Did they have something? You know, actually, in a sense, there was nothing in it for them, except for being part of God's unfolding plan. And they wanted to be there to witness, to offer, to honour what God was doing, to bring their gold and their frankincense and their myrrh. To seek God just for the sake of seeking God and being part of what he's doing. Not for any kind of selfish reward or something they would get out of it. Wise men seek him still. How about this one? This is for the tree climbers ministry group here. So here's Zacchaeus, seeking Jesus. So here's the man, the tax collector, dissatisfied with life, really, the whole thing. And, you know, I guess he's been, in a sense, he'd been playing the system. He'd been going along with things, occupied that role as a tax collector. But it just hadn't quite been scratching where he was really itching. We don't know how many years he was doing this. We don't know what his life was like before. We know he was short. He was hindered in that sense by his physical stature. He couldn't get above the crowds to see Jesus. We also know perhaps he wasn't brimming with confidence. He wasn't thinking, yeah, if I can get to see Jesus, my life's going to be better. I've heard all about what Jesus does. He just thought, this is intriguing. I want to see this man. I want to find out more. You know, I'm not going to push myself right forward, but I'm just going to find a tree a little bit away from the crowds where I can get above and see above them. And he finds the tree. He makes the effort just that little bit, climbs the tree. You know, the gentle seeking reminds me a little bit of Nicodemus as well. You know, didn't want to be seen by day seeking after God. He seeks him by night. But here's Zacchaeus, just on the edge, up the tree, watching, and Jesus notices him. And so his effort is rewarded, and it's all by grace. It's all by grace, actually. It's not that he earned that favour of God by climbing the tree, but just that he showed there's some interest, and Jesus recognised it and saw right to his heart and cut through, took the detour away from the crowd. Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house for tea. And it's wonderful when Jesus teaches, when he comes on the scene and he says, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Ask and you will receive. He actually says it 6 times. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Because whoever asks receives, and whoever seeks finds, and whoever knocks the door will be open. That's what Jesus says. It's a twofold, threefold repetition. He's really labouring the point. Seek God and you'll find. And here's just a lovely example with Zacchaeus. I don't know what hinders us sometimes. I don't know what confidence we have. I don't know what our level of, actually, I want to find out more. Which trees we need to climb. Where we need to take the initiative to call out to God. Some people are hindered in other ways than height. These blind men. Who in society were pitied, maybe all they could do to sit at the side of the road and beg, often ignored, you know, the downtrodden, the outcast. And it wasn't easy for them to seek Jesus. How do you seek someone you can't see? You know, or to recognize him. But they said, okay, we've got limitations, but here we are, sat by the side of the road. We've got a sense Jesus is coming soon. And, you know, the crowd's getting a bit excited. We can't sort of get up and look for him, but what we can do is use the faculties that we do have. We're going to make a noise. Jesus! Jesus over here! We need you, Jesus! Jesus, come! Come this way! And all the people around came, quiet down, come on! For goodness sake, don't make so much noise. But they cried out all the louder. And I love it. Despite what the crowds are saying, they're saying, I'm not going with the crowd on this. I really mean this. I am desperate for this encounter with Jesus. And Jesus hears them and comes and says, what is it that you want? Yeah. And he heals them. He heals them. It reminds me a little bit of the 10 lepers. You know, in a sense, this isn't like the Magi. There was something in it for them. There was a very specific thing. We're blind, we'd like to see. We've heard you can do it. Come on, help us out. There were 10 lepers like that who sought Jesus. We've heard you heal leprosy. We've got leprosy. Come on, help us out. Jesus says, yeah, okay. I'll help you out. Seek and you'll find. But there was one leper who came back to say thank you. To seek after Jesus, not for something that he'd get out of it, but just because it's good to seek after God, because he wanted a bit more of Jesus. And that was the one, Jesus says, he went away whole. There's almost a deeper level of healing there. So there's something about, you know, being ruthless, relentless, going against the crowd, seeking after God, even if it's embarrassing, doing what we can, even if we're limited. But also, you know, if there's something that we especially need, then fine to seek God for that. But let's also be mindful of seeking God for who he is. And the last one, the lost son, seeking home. We've had a little bit on this lately. I haven't preached very well on it the other day. But just to remind us, you know, there was a couple of journeys he took. The journey away from home, and he welcomed that journey. The journey that ruined him was the journey he welcomed. The homeward journey, he resisted. I don't want to do that. But that's the journey that actually restored him. Sometimes it can be like that. You know, we run after the things that are going to do us harm and we resist the things that would do us good. But he came to his senses there with the pigs and thought it through. This is actually what I need to do. But you know, I don't really want to rely on grace. So he rationalises his decision. If I go home, then I'll do this and use this argument. It's worth a try. Okay, it's better than this. So he's gone through a process. But actually, he makes the journey. And once he made the move, he discovers that grace is all you need. Grace is good. The embrace of the Father. It's a wonderful picture. So lots of journeys of seeking God. Moses seeking God up the mountain. Naaman seeking for his healing from leprosy and needing to humble himself to do that. The temple is a meeting place. The church is a meeting place. Where do people go to meet with God? If you want to knock on his front door, how do you do that? Those who seek God because we need some guidance, but actually we don't like the guidance, we're going to ignore it. The warning to press through. The Magi, doing their study, doing their research, willing to, you know, make quite a long journey. Zacchaeus, climbing the tree, gently, seeking after God, wanting to find out more. Just let's find out more. The blind man, crying out regardless of what others were saying. The lost son, heading home, finding grace is enough. There's some examples. There's plenty more. You know, this encouragement to seek after God, not just to go on the journeys that are forced upon us, but to be intentional as we seek God while he may be found. Okay, why don't we just jump up onto our feet and give a little shake. Spin around or whatever you need to do. And we'll get a couple more chairs, get some people up here.